The SEC doesn't have a team in the national championship for the third year in a row. Is the dominance done? Is the run over? Is everybody chanting SEC, SEC at the end of games? Really, now just second rate. Let's get into it. Is the SEC's dominant run in college football officially over now that there's no SEC team playing in the national title game? Once again, welcome to Crane and Cone. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. This episode is presented to you by our friends over at Good Ranchers. There's no debate on what the best meat delivery company is. We can talk about conferences, but you go to goodranchers.com, use that promo code Booster. You save some money and you eat like a king or a queen, because we know we have some ladies that watch the show, and we appreciate you. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. Wonder what he thinks about the Big Ten. It's going to be interesting. Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. Anytime he tries to think, it's interesting. But, guys, I think, and we've talked about this before as we've kind of watched the SEC go from king of the castle, which I think it's hard to argue that when you look at the national champions that we've had here in the past. I mean, I had it pulled up. I was looking at it earlier. You go from just starting in 2014, Ohio State won it then, but then you had Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Georgia. Then we've started to go on this run, and we can go back even further, really, from 08 and beyond. Auburn win one 2010. We can talk about Florida. But the SEC was on a pretty dominant run overall from a national championship perspective. But Cone, when we're looking at how to calculate what the best conference is, to me there's got to be more than just who won the national championship. When you look at how to judge a conference overall or judge them against each other, are you looking at this thing in pillars? Is there one thing that stands above the rest of you? Kind of how do you view it?
Well, I'm just viewing it how the SEC has talked about it for the last 15 years, which is we've had the national champion and we've had a lot of different schools win national championships, and that's what makes us the best conference. Now, when I was coming out of high school to go play college football and I was trying to decide between Michigan or let's say Mississippi State, I wasn't thinking about conference. I still don't view college football through the lens of a conference. I view it through the lens of individual programs. I decided to go play at Michigan because I picked that school, not because I thought the Big Ten conference was better than the SEC. I was from South Georgia. That's a thousand miles away from home for me. But again, I think what's been most surprising with the SEC's championship drought is not just that it hasn't had the champion these last 3 years, but it hasn't even had a school in the national championship game at a time when you've expanded and added Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. Now, historically, hasn't been a big deal, right? Like from the beginning of the BCS to when I went to play at Michigan, some of the best matchups were USC versus Texas in the Natty, right? You had Ohio State versus Miami, Florida State taking on Michael Vick and Virginia Tech. I think the SEC had Tennessee and LSU, but then what happens? They go on that run starting in 2006 with Florida and they won 13 of 17. I mean, that's a level of dominance that I don't think we're going to see in this sport again, because the last 3 years, what have happened? One, Nick Saban retired. He accounted for half of those. Okay. Yeah. Two, the transfer portal is open every year. Players can leave. And three, and most importantly, these name, image, and likeness payments are changing the dynamic for a lot of these schools. And it's one thing when it's Michigan and it's Ohio State, but now you're looking at Indiana might be the national championship, or Miami, who hasn't won a national title in 25 years. The dynamic has changed, and my advice for the SEC is get back to being the best conference on the football field instead of just talking about being the best conference on the football field.
Well, Blaine, I mean, same question to you, man. I mean, some of the pillars I've written down are obviously who wins the national championship.
Yeah, that matters.
How many teams make the postseason, college football playoff, really, if we're being honest. How well the teams did in non-conference games, because that's one way that we judged it. Then the NFL draft, how many players get drafted? I think to me it's a recipe, not just one or two things. But where do you fall?
How much do y'all measure bowl games? Are those something you measure highly? Are those
you're playing a football game? In my opinion. I mean, you're playing a football game and the SEC goes, 2-7 this year? Again, it wouldn't be a big deal. It wouldn't be a big deal, except we're hearing from one conference that we're better than everyone else. Well, then you got to go win those games.
Especially the middle of the conference. I mean, you go look at that Iowa-Vanderbilt game. Everybody was playing in that football game.
Mm-hmm. True.
Everybody. And Vanderbilt was a very close team to go make the playoff. And look, Iowa gave a lot of really good teams a run for their money this year, obviously, if you watch them play. But they beat that Vanderbilt team. Same thing with Tennessee. I think a lot of it has to do with the SEC, not only being at the top, but but how good is the middle of your conference? And I feel like the SEC from the middle of their conference has always been weighed higher than what they should have. I mean, teams like South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State, the middle is not there anymore. Auburn, it's just not there. And I think that's one of the way you weigh your conference. I really do. And you look at the Nick Saban effect. Obviously, he's gone. And this all changed, in my opinion, when NIL and transfer portal and Nick Saban left. Look, it's tough to keep depth on your roster. If you have a good player and he is second or third string, he is not going to stay there. If you're in the Nick Saban thing, like Trent Richardson's not your third
but
string.
But like that affects everybody
anymore.
The same though. Like in that in sure, that theory, sure, then why the isn't the Big 12 worse than what talent. The Big 12's been?
The SEC used to be able to hoard talent, and now you cannot do that. You cannot do that anymore. Those days are over with. It's
no, I don't disagree with that, but what I think when I look at it is NIL from a hoarding talent standpoint, the ability to not just the ability for a school to allocate money to players, but people being willing to give their money for their school to allocate money to players. Think about this. How many times in the past when people were getting paid under the table, did rich boosters or this here, you know, this rich guy over here say, you know what? I don't want to build us a new weight room. I would just love to give $5 million for you to go get players. Well, now you can do that. Now, they paid him under the table, but most people weren't willing to take that risk to get into trouble. To look what happened to Nevin Shapiro and some of these other guys. So it opened the door for you look at like Texas Tech and some of these other places for people to match the SEC from that standpoint. But Blaine, to your point about the middle of the conference in the SEC and from top to bottom, the SEC not being as good as what it has been, I agree with that. To me, that's where the fall off has been. The fall off has been that the SEC may have not had the best team that year. Because I think the argument that the Big Ten has been top heavy is more true than the SEC over the past 10 years. Like, I think the Big Ten's more top heavy, but that seems to be changing. And the SEC's argument was, well, look, you go top to bottom in this league, you run through a conference schedule in this league, it's a different gauntlet than everybody else's because the middle is stronger than your middle. The bottom is as strong as what your middle is. That is not the case anymore. Blaine, I agree with you on that. I look at South Carolina and like what's the difference between South Carolina and Illinois, for being honest. Mm-hmm. Like I can go through this list of teams that have been kind of middle tier, and I'm looking at the Big Ten now, and it's starting to look like it's getting healthier than the SEC. And yes, Cone, to your point, the SEC still does beat its chest like it runs college football like it used to, but they don't. The SEC does not run college football anymore. You can sit here and say, oh, well, ESPN biased and this, that, and the other. Well, if it's so biased, how has their ass not been in a national championship game in the last 3 years? Now, I think there's more talent per capita, Cone, in the SEC when you look at the NFL draft. But at the end of the day, the Big Ten has found a way to catch up a little bit in that. And I think the coaching is better in the Big Ten overall, Dave. I really believe that.
Well, just to follow up on your initial question, I mean, I do not believe that just because you have the national champion from that particular conference, that made you the best or the deepest or the most competitive. Again, I'm just going off of what SEC fans and SEC Network has said for basically the last 20 years at this standpoint. Let's get into the pillars that you laid forth a little bit, because I think there's one. First of all, the NFL, to me, the players really care about that. Obviously, that I saw college football as a pipeline to the NFL. That was something that I wanted to do. But I don't think that really measures in to how good you are as a program or a conference, because I'll give you just an anecdotal example here. From a small town in the South, we used to play teams from Atlanta all the time where their entire roster was signed to Division I schools. And we would run through them because they weren't good teams, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a difference between having star players who are going to play at the next level and having really good teams. And that's an example of like what Indiana's doing right now. But I think there is another pillar that I think you could add to your list, Jake, which is the television viewership and the amount that people actually want to watch these games. I mean, just for instance, you're talking about the Big Ten being top heavy, despite the fact they may have three national champions from their league in three consecutive years. I actually agree with that point. There's some middle of the pack or even bottom of the pack SEC games that I get more excited about when they come on a Saturday, and the viewership also supports that. And to the point about the middle of the pack or the bottom of the pack not being as competitive, I still can go watch a Mississippi State team this past year, go beat Arizona State, who was like leading for the Big 12 championship for a lot of that season. So that part of it is still there. Again, it's just the dynamic and the perspective has to change after you won 13 of 17 national titles.
Well, and in the comments, I want people to put down, if you have a formula or a recipe that you go about in trying to determine which team is the best conference, and just to point out, we're not talking about a one of these conferences being bad. All right, this is not an argument over whether like the SEC is bad now or like the Big Ten was bad back then. This is an argument over who is the best and how you get there. That's the part that I find the most interesting, because you do have people that think it's a singular thing. You win the Natty, this or the other. Or if you have multiple teams win the Natty in a five-year span, I believe it's a recipe. But Blaine, as much as and look, we hear the SEC chants. We hear the, you know, the people making fun of the SEC chants. Just from my own personal experience, and I was born and raised in Auburn, Alabama, I would say that probably 85% of SEC fans do not give a shit about what the other SEC teams do if they win or lose, to be honest. I really don't. Outside of you may be needing help for an SEC team to win a non-conference game or something like that, if you're an Auburn fan, you never want Alabama to win. You don't want LSU to win. You don't want Georgia to win. I've never seen somebody say, you know what? I don't really root for a team. I'm just an SEC fan. But you do have, at the end of the games, just to be a dick, just saying SEC, 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 and you hear that on the TV. I mean, Blaine, you grew up the way I did. Like, I don't think Ole Miss is out here rooting for Mississippi State.
Isn't every conference like that, though?
I think it really is.
Not in my experience. Yeah. I hear from people all the time, especially from Darby Lou's side of the family. Well, I'll pull for LSU just to keep it in the conference. And I don't think that Big Ten teams do that a lot.
Yeah, okay. Didn't seem fun to, like, I just don't.
I mean, because I've never rooted for another SEC school. I've really never met anybody who rooted for another SEC school. Maybe the only one I have rooted for was Vanderbilt, just because it's a feel-good story. Well, look,
the pity vote does it. I'm not saying the pity vote.
I mean, but I feel like you're still rooting for them. But it just feels like now, this, when it comes to the SEC, this, the brand is stronger than the actual results on the field. And I think that shows up. And I don't see it changing. And I think y'all made a lot of great points, especially on the coaching point. I mean, you go through the Big Ten, really from top to bottom, it's just a better staff, not only head coaches, but coordinators as well. So there's a lot of pillars that you bring into this. You can look at it a lot of different ways, but at the end of the day, this all gets settled on the field, right? And it's been settled the last 3 years. And right now, the Big Ten, not only the top, but the middle, is the best conference in football.
Yeah. Well, and the last caveat I want to put on my point about not rooting for the conference is like me as a fan, I don't want anybody else in my conference to do well, because I want it to hurt recruiting. I want it to hurt your the way people view you right around the country to try and make your program better. I wish we could get a census. And I know they screwed the census up here anyway, so it probably wouldn't be that accurate. But if we could get a census of listen, I need you to be honest. Do you care about the rest of the teams in the conference winning? Like, is that important to you? Just to see what percentage, because I think in every conference, outside of maybe the ones that have been viewed as kind of the little dog, because that can really bring you together and galvanize you to be like, let's go show them. Like Iowa State, let's go in the bowl game and really show them what the Big 12 is about. I can understand that. But I'd love to see the numbers on that. 2026 marks 250 years of America. Yep, that's 250 years about arguing whether the SEC is still the best conference in the country. But there's no argument when it comes to who's the best meat delivery company. That's our friends over at Good Ranchers. Head over to goodranchers.com. Use our promo code Booster, BOOSTER. You get $25 off your first order. You could save up to $500 a year. Coney, we've used Good Ranchers for 4 years. It's American sourced. All right. These are American farms and ranches. You're not getting it from Uzbekistan. All right. This is straight from our place to our place.
Well, it's pretty simple for me. I have to eat food to survive and to live. So I'd rather eat the food that's high quality and from a company that shares all of my values. So that's why I eat Good Ranchers.
Blaine, the things you've done to ribeyes, I'm actually afraid to talk about on the show.
Yeah, actually, you're not allowed legally to talk about them on the show. We've talked about that. I mean, look, last night, I'll be honest, ate some Wagyu patties. Me and the old lady, tough to beat. Tough to beat. Ate some Wagyu patties and watch a spy movie. I mean, come on.
Wow, what a time. That's why George Washington crossed the Amazon. So head over to GoodRanchers.com. Use promo code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, to get that $25 off. GoodRanchers.com, American meat delivered. Really, David, too, when you're looking at the way the SEC is going to go about this in the future, do you think if Indiana were to win, Big Ten wins three in a row, I mean, what's the course correction here? Mm-hmm. What is the Greg Sankey like, okay, listen, obviously we are not doing things at an elite enough level. Like, do you go, you know, clone Saban? Like, or and just, you know, I don't know. What is the course correction here? Can you do anything?
Man, that's a great question. I want to hit this from the hoarding talent standpoint that you guys were talking about a little bit ago. Because I'm from Georgia, so I will admit I am biased. I do think the American South has the greatest collection of college football talent in the country. And a big part of that is the passion. And that's something you can't argue against. Like, sure, the passion, yeah, in the American South, I think also is like a direct pipeline to the amount of talent you have. And it's not to discredit awesome high school football states like California and like Ohio, where a bunch of talent comes from.
And like Utah too. I think Utah's a really good.
And New good. Jersey and yeah, outside no. of DC, there's these awesome, DMV. Awesome pockets, right? That are stronger than other parts of the country. Like Michigan high school football just was not on the same level as Ohio high school football. And you can see that play out and where people were going. That's why you would have a situation where Joe Burrow wants to go be a Buckeye and be the four string quarterback. Ironically enough, not a great example for this one because he did transfer into the SEC to LSU. But for most of the time, you'd have a running back who wants to go play for Nick Saban at Alabama. Alvin Kamara is the four-string running back, right, at Alabama, because that's a pipeline to the NFL. There's no reason to not go there. It's a big brand. I'm not going to get as many carries. I might have to sit behind Derrick Henry or Mark Ingram or all these other guys. But now you're seeing a situation where another school can come in and say, wait, but we'll actually pay you money now. Forget going to the NFL. We'll pay you money now, and you can leave and come help our team. And that talent is being dispersed across the country. And you've seen that these last couple of years with people making the argument that when paying players was against the rules, the SEC dominated, and now you have big, big, big money figures like Mark Cuban donating to Indiana, right? Larry Ellison donating to Michigan to flip Bryce Underwood. You have that in play. And I just want to say, like, one, more parity in the sport these last couple of years, I think, has been a positive. I think healthy for the sport. I think seeing the biggest money guy, like Elon Musk has all the money in the world and he happens to be whatever fan of ACC school or whatever and donates to that, I don't think that necessarily is healthy for the sport, and that's not going to be fixed until we get some sort of collective bargaining agreement, unfortunately. That's where I think Greg Sankey needs to be forward-thinking, and he is. All this stuff we're talking about, he's talking about every single day of his life, and he needs to be on the phone because the big, big money guys, and Jake, you know some of them, Blaine, you know some of them, they're tired of giving their money, right, when there's no return on investment at a time when you're actually able to profit share too. And they're saying, well, why am I going to pay another $10 million for you to get a defensive end when I'm not really seeing the return on investment with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anything. You better produce results when people are giving you money. You can't, it's the thing, you can't Ponzi scheme your way through this. Like, there's no, because you got to play it on the field for everybody and God to see. And to Cone again, to kind of to piggyback off what you were saying, I agree 100% that the structure that the Big Ten, I think, has started to put around itself. And you look at Pat Fitzgerald's at Michigan State now. Like, I think he's going to be a problem with what I, you know he knows and what Bielema has done at Illinois to bring them up again. And Ferentz has been doing for 1,000 years at Iowa, and there's some others as well. But Blaine, it just feels like the SEC right now was the hottest girl all 4 years of high school. Then she goes to college. Gets that freshman 15.
Oh, no.
Got a little gut. But, hey, this summer we're putting the Jillian Michaels tape in. All right, we're going to get back on our – how do they get back there? Do they just pop the tape in and Greg's saying you just got to go, just run around?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have to find better coaching, and I think you need to find more money. I mean, to be honest, at the end of the day, look, one, it's hard to compete with oil money. Like, it really is. It's hard to compete with Oregon and Phil Knight. Like, and I think when the SEC – and this might sound crazy, and maybe I am wrong when I say this – but maybe you need to adjust your expectations a little bit. Mm. Yeah, you really do. Like, if you're Alabama, really? Look, it's not going to look the same. It's just not. It's just not. You're in a whole different world now. And I promise you, most of it, obviously, you need coaching, you need structure, and you need culture. But a lot of this comes down to money. There's not there. This isn't a surprise that Texas Tech made it to the playoffs this year, right? There's a reason why they did. They're number one in the transfer portal, and they have an absolute bag. They have an unlimited bag that they can reach in and get where you want it. This isn't, oh, well, look, it's Alabama, it's Nick Saban, I'm going there because of that logo. The brand doesn't matter really to me anymore. It doesn't. It matters how much money can I get, and then I'm going to go play there.
Does Indiana offset that a little bit with what they're doing? Does what Kirk Cignetti is doing right now with no five-star players? Because if you have more money, you're just going to go get more of the best players and more of those five stars. Does what he's doing right now in terms of developing three- and four-star recruits and the culture, does that sort of show the SEC, okay, yes, we need to spend a lot of money to get great rosters. We've known that. But also, like, we need to develop this talent to get back on top of
Well, like, what I'm interested in, Cone, I want to see this through a five-year span. Because I want to see if Cignetti's going to keep going about it this way. Because now you got the bread. You should have proof of concept for 2 years. Like, I don't want to have to put together the helicopter out of scraps in my garage. I'd rather just go work at Lockheed Martin. You know what I'm saying?
That's, like, that's a great saying.
Yeah, and it's, well, you know why. But when you look at what Cignetti will do from here, now that Indiana is doing what they're doing, does he go get the five stars and try and develop them? Because my thinking would be, well, if I can develop this three or four star, imagine if I got a bunch of four and five stars and we kept the culture the same. But it could also screw it up. Maybe you were able to develop those guys because they did get it out of the mud. Maybe you're able to develop those guys because they weren't the most highly touted. And you're just going to sprinkle a couple five stars on a three and a half star cupcake, Blaine.
I think it's just two things that I think Cignetti has done really well. One, I mean, obviously they're not the most talented team, but they are talented. And two, you're bringing in guys with a lot of experience.
They're old. It's like basketball.
I really think that matters. Look, I know it's great to see a five-star young kid run around a wide receiver, but sometimes taking that three-star who's 24 years old, who's been through the mix, and now you're developing him, maybe that's a difference. The scariest thing in the world to me right now, if you're a college football, if you give Kirk Cignetti the actually keys to the kingdom and he can go pick guys who he wants – with talent that are four and five stars, and then see what Indiana does. But I think they've done a great mix of finding talent, finding experience, and finding guys who want it. And I think at the end of the day, like it's like fishing, right? You know where your fishing hole is. You know where your spot is to go catch that bass. You know how the water moves. You know how the wind works. You know where the fish are. And Kirk Cignetti has found that pond, and he's going to keep fishing in that pond. The only thing I know is those fish are going to keep getting bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger, and they're going to want to come to that pond. Hell, I want to go to that pond.
Yeah, well, you better catch that bass or they're going to fire your ass. So that's how it works now in these two-year cycles.
Well, again, when Kirby went back-to-back, we thought he might win eight in a row.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no givens in this sport, which I think is a good thing. And I want to clarify one point on the high school point I made. It's not to say there aren't great football players that come from every state has a great football player or great football players that come out of their state every single year. I'm just talking about with the level of organization at the high school level and the dedication to the high school football. That's just different in Alabama and Georgia and Louisiana than it is in other parts of the country.
100%. And I think high school recruiting, I don't even know how much it matters anymore, to be honest. I mean, who really wants to go get, a high school kid when you can get a guy in the portal who's doing it for 3 years?
Or like a kicker. Why do you want to go recruit a high school kicker who you don't know if his game will translate to college when you can maybe go get the best kicker in the MAC every year to transfer or something?
Yeah. No, it's changed the way you go about putting a roster together. But anything else you guys want to add here?
Big day for Ukraine, right? Big day for you.
The gender of, which I don't even know if we've announced this yet.
Surprise, tell him, son.
Reed's pregnant. And SEC fan. It's another one. No, I'm just kidding.
Another one for the horde.
So I'm fired up. To me, it's five girls until it's not. So I've just mentally have gotten myself to the place.
And now you don't find out today.
No.
Oh, okay.
I won't find out today. We're going to get the blood test, I think it is, and then they're going to call us.
I have no children. Hey, I don't know how this works.
you know, it's a girl again, which is fine. I just want everybody to be okay. But no, we're fired up, and we're hoping you're fired up as well. It's going to be a fun kind of wait till this national championship game. We have a full preview of Indiana and Miami you need to check out as well. Remember, hit up goodranchers.com. Use that promo code Booster. We appreciate you guys and like the chances of people not being very fired up about where they land on is the SEC the best conference or not. We're going, gone.